Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, do everything in love. Oh, magnify Amen. The Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, February 9th, 2022. It's the Prime Life Times in Review, and we're going to just spread the love around today. Do everything in love.
That's a tall order.
Yeah, it's a practice that many of us oftentimes fail at. Even
most of us, all of us.
Yes, we can't live up to it, but it's a standard that God has set out. It's like where Jesus says, be perfect, therefore, as I am perfect.
Oh, my word.
Like,
you're just rolling them out
yeah,
here.
Right. Can't live up to that. But we always set high the standard or the bar.
Yeah.
I always say that about Dr. David Webb. I'm in his Shalia group. He's discipling 10 of us. And with Dr. Webb, he holds the standard so high that even if you achieve half of it, you're still light years ahead of everyone else. So,
wow.
So we put high that standard knowing that we're going to fail. But another thing with failing, that's a good thing. I learned Jason.
What?
When we fail, we recognize we have to lean more into Jesus. And
that's
kind of a good thing. Whenever I've botched something up or not done it quite right.
Oh, that can't be true.
Yeah. Well, since third grade. It happened in third grade. I've been pretty flawless since.
But from psychology, we know that men learn best from their mistakes. And so the parents try to teach them something.
Well, they must be really intelligent by now.
Well, yeah. The problem with that is, I mean, you can take that too far and say, the reason I'm successful is that I failed so much, you know?
Yeah.
You want to be careful.
Well, I began with that verse, do everything in love, because we have at least three different stories we want to cover. And let's see, that's only four words. What, the shortest passage is Jesus wept. That's in John, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one that's three words, but I can't think of that one, too. But do everything in love out of chapter 16, verse 14. All right. So the Prime Life Times in Review.
I just wish we had CJ back so that we could have that voice going on.
Oh, yes.
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, if you were tuned in, I got a lot of feedback from yesterday's program.
I bet
you
did.
People enjoyed that, and I closed out with the song by Chuck Schweitzer that he wrote. He's with the Lord now, but it was kind of a fun, upbeat one. And the Singing Men, we had our first 2022 season rehearsal here.
Monday.
And so we had some new guys joining us, and we hope that some of you men will consider joining us into the future. We meet each and every Monday night at 7 p.m. here at the Great News Media Center. In fact, Leon Cabe, he drives in from Bloomington. It'd be great if he had somebody to drive along with, or get a friend and come join us Monday night, 7 p.m. Rob used to sing with us for a number of years. So.
Yeah, we need to get an area choir going.
Yeah, hopefully at some point, maybe in Springfield or Bloomington or Decatur, we'll have the Singing Men of Decatur or Springfield or something, and then we'll have something, you know, maybe at the end of the year or at some time when we all come together. But that's God's timing and leading, and he has to raise up the right people and the accommodations.
It'll be a great post-COVID world.
Yeah, that's right. So, Marianne, I gave you kind of free rein to orchestrate today.
I know, this scares everybody to pieces.
Yeah, you said, oh, gosh, there's two or three different articles we want to touch on.
So. Yeah, we won't have time for it, but I want to point out the article on the first page, the Women's History article.
Oh, yeah.
About a remarkable woman.
You mean Elizabeth Jennings?
Yes, I do.
Great article. Yeah. We got to get that one read. But today I thought maybe, Rob, you could read about this Stuck in the Snow article. I think that would be very beneficial for people right now.
So we'll include the practical along with the love and the emotional, because
there
you'll be reading one of your poems too, correct?
Okay, I hope to.
Okay. All right.
So on page A3, Stuck in the Snow, at the top of the page, survive.
Yeah, is that a train sound?
Oh, is that it? We're all just sitting here looking at each other, folks. Okay, there's a train out here at the mall, apparently.
Yeah, it's the Polar Express.
That's fun.
Yeah,
I love
so
that.
With us having our grand opening open house on Saturday, March 26th, right now we have the windows covered so we can continue to remodel and get things all set for you. But we're right up at the front windows here between Lens Crafters and Old Navy.
The sign is up.
The Great News Media sign is up, but by being this close to the window, if an ambulance goes by or a police siren or something is sounded, you hear it all. And sometimes you'll hear the knocking of the door when people access into the mall. There's this hallway next to us that some of the employees take. And that door, someday I have to get it fixed or something, but you'll hear a thud. And that's the door opening and shutting. But anyways, it's turning out great. The Singing Men on Monday night, they loved our new accommodations, and it sounded wonderfully. So
good, I'm glad.
It's going to come together. You're all invited on Saturday, March 26th, 1 to 4 p.m.
Excellent. Okay, Ron, tell us about how to survive in the snow.
Thank you. Just before I start reading this, I'm going to say that our friend and poet and contributor, Ralph Butzo, hopes to come to the open house.
Oh, good.
He can't promise, but he's hoping to come.
Oh, Ralph, please do.
So it happens. The car slips off the road, and we're stuck. Or the snow just comes down so fast, the vehicle can't keep going. Crucial survival tips. Stay in your car.
Yep.
Nearly 90% of those who try to hike for help end up dying. Nearly 100% of those who stay in the car survive. Keep your car ventilated and your exhaust pipe clear. Carbon monoxide is called the silent killer because it's odorless and acts quickly. If your engine's running and your exhaust pipe is blocked by snow, your passenger compartment will rapidly become unsafe. Keep a charged cell phone with you. Let friends and family know where you're going and by what route.
Important.
Be sure your spare tire is aired up. Always have a fully charged car jump pack in the car. You can also recharge your phone from this. Carry a small shovel. They have folding ones now that are really neat, by the way. Some old carpet and pea gravel. Just a little help could get you back on the road. Yes, we should carry snow chains, but most of us don't. Traction strips and quick-attached tire chains are great to have in case of an emergency. Pea gravel or kitty litter can also serve to give you just enough traction to get back on the road. Keep your gas tank nearly full. Don't let your gas tank get below 3/4 in winter. Now, I know that's tough if you're on a trip, but try to keep it up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, don't let Holly read this.
Well, condensation is your enemy in the winter.
Yeah.
And so if the tank just has an inch of gas, you're going to have about that much water in there. Mm. When stuck, check periodically that your tailpipe is clear of snow and ice, then run the engine and heater from time to time. Keep warm coverings in the car. Wool blankets, one per passenger, emergency sleeping bags about the size of a pop can, and hand and foot warmers are essential winter supplies.
This is almost like being on a boat and you need so many life jackets.
I just bought more hand warmers last night.
Did you really?
And they have those little things that, like in a packet that are sealed that you tear open. And
that's what I bought.
Okay.
You bet.
Yeah, good for you.
Holly has a case of those or a box of those.
All right.
Good.
Keep emergency food in the car. Food and water can freeze.
Hey Marianne, we got food in the program.
We did.
Yeah, it could freeze in the winter, but you can thaw them. Food high in energy and protein is best. Yes, carry a roll of toilet paper.
Feel like I'm back in Africa. In the bush country, not in Africa in general. Go ahead.
Keep enough outdoor clothing in your car to match the coldest, nastiest weather possible for the time of year. If it might rain, it likely will. If it might freeze, it probably will.
It probably will.
Is this like Murphy's Law of weather?
Pretty close. Prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Don't assume your car won't break down in winter. Don't drive into standing water. Mm-hmm. Don't take unsafe shortcuts in severe weather. Copyright Scenic Circle Prime Lifetimes.
Excellent. Stuck in the snow, survive. Page A3 in this month's edition, the February edition of the Prime Lifetime.
Well, I think it's so good to remind everybody, including myself. It was interesting because after I read this article, I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't have any more hand warmers in the car. That's why I went out and got them.
Yes, I was paid by several local stores to put that in.
Oh, were you?
No. And you did notice, kitty corner to this article, that nice open house. Welcome to the grand opening of the new studio, Saturday, March 26th, 1 to 4 p.m. Prizes, giveaways, food, fun. And there's a picture of our Great News Media sign above our blue awning. And we're right here located between Lens Crafters and Old Navy, and a number of people have asked, now many are learning, that you can't access us directly from inside the mall. You have to be on this eastern section of the mall. There's a big parking lot, and then you just walk in our front doors, which gives us some added advantages, because if we're in the mall, then we'd have to have two employees 7 days a week, but because we have our own private outside entrance, We don't have to follow all the covenants of the mall. So it's
well, there's
been
five
very
or six
convenient.
Of you. You yeah, seem to be everywhere at once. We should just put a couple of you here and move on.
Yeah, the mall wouldn't know. I flash around here so fast. Was there three or four people in there?
That's funny. Okay, so, Mark, you know we try and be seasonal in our paper.
Yes.
And February is, I know it's the love month, but it's also Black History Month. And along with the phenomenal article about the amazing Elizabeth Jennings, we did include this small article. I want you to read that too, Rob, about Lawrence Brooks.
Thank you.
What page is this on?
That's
on
A7.
Turning. There we go. Okay.
And our typesetter graciously found these two excellent photos.
Uh-huh.
The smaller one, of course, is when this gentleman was in the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
And the larger one is one taken shortly before he passed away.
At the age of 112?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nation's oldest surviving World War II veteran dies.
Oh.
Lawrence Brooks, America's oldest surviving World War II veteran, died on January 5 at the age of 112. Drafted into the Army in 1940, the Louisiana native served honorably in the 91st Engineer Battalion. Released after his obligatory year of service, Brooks reenlisted right after the Pearl Harbor attack. Private First Class Brooks served in Australia, New Guinea, and the Philippines. After his discharge at war's end, he faced severe racial prejudice, even being denied the GI Bill benefits to which he was entitled. He worked until age 70 as a forklift operator. One of 15 children born to poor sharecropping parents, Brooks leaves a legacy of 13 grandchildren and 32 great-grandchildren. And I heard his daughter interviewed on TV, and she said, I've never been able to go to college either. I hope they make the GI Bill available to children of veterans.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
They didn't have the economics to do anything like that.
I wonder who is the oldest surviving World War II veteran now.
I don't know, but we just lost a four-star general who was part of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah.
And he was a personal friend of Walter Weathersby, Chief Master Sergeant Walter Weathersby of the U.S. Air Force, who is from Rantoul.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
And so he
shout
just
out
passed
for
away.
Rantoul.
But he was only 102 when he passed away.
Oh, my
away.
Goodness.
Wow.
Amazing.
So on page 14,
nope.
That
okay.
is A14 for February 14.
Right? Oh, yeah, we got to get in the poem because we might read Rural Memories if we have
might.
Time.
We're okay. going to let you introduce this one, Rob.
I want to dedicate this poem to my dear wife, Mary.
Uh-oh.
Mary Coggins Seidenberg. It's called To My Love. My love is selfish, well I know, that depth of need I seldom show, this yearning of my inner heart to keep by you and never part. Our singing harmony of love, oh, what a gift from up above, that soft entwines our hearts as one to lift us up from sun to sun. Friendship, strong foundation casting for emotions deep and lasting. Companionship, though seldom mentioned, each trusts the other's well-intentioned. Such little things and many others keep us closer than two brothers. That threefold cord, that mighty weave, faith, hope, and love, yes, we believe. And know that love will see us through, and furthermore, we know just who. For God is love, we can depend, he'll see us through right till the end. Mm-hmm. Copyright Scene Circle, Rob Seidenberg.
Oh,
once nice. Again, excellent. You said this took you some hours to put together, so this is a recent creation. This wasn't one you pulled out of the archives. And
yeah, it took a couple months to do, and I wasn't happy with it. And Mary said, well, send it.
Oh,
and she
I
liked
love
it, so
it.
I
oh,
thought,
yeah.
well,
it's so nice.
If my boss likes it, maybe my wife will like it.
Oh, there you go.
I hope.
I love it. I love it. Companionship, though seldom mentioned, each trusts the other is well-intentioned. That's good writing, Rob. Of course, we all know you're a great writer. This is good poetry. I love this poem. Thank you.
You're very kind.
Be blessed, Mary.
Rob Seidenberg, our copy editor and all-around great guy, a follower of Jesus. Yes, let's turn to another story by
My
Rob
goodness, we're
Seidenberg.
Just doing them here, aren't
this
we?
This is on A4,
you're
by
getting
the way.
Featured.
A4.
You're getting featured way beyond your pay grade.
That's for sure. So this is Rural Memories for February. It's called Cutting Wood. On the farm, we cut wood. We burn firewood, cut white oak for posts, and cut logs for the sawmill. We trim back trees that encroach on cropland, and we cut fallen trees that blocked our township road or lane. If we couldn't cut and remove them, no vehicle could pass, including the daily milk truck that hauled our cans of milk to the nearby creamery to be made into butter and powdered skimmed milk. Before Dad bought our first chainsaw, we had a big old two-man crosscut saw. The use of man in that term didn't mean Mother didn't know how to use that saw. She certainly could and did use it. But when I reached 9 years old, Dad decided it was time I learned the ropes, so to speak. It was a challenge for me to pull and not push.
He told you to get your teeth into this one.
That's right. Sink your teeth into this, son. My end had only one round wooden handle, sticking straight up from the end of the big saw. Dad's end had a full saw handle. Our saw was nearly 5 feet long. Once we got a rhythm going, we could really make the wood chips fly. Dad did the real cutting. I helped move the saw back so he could make another pass. Dad was also an excellent axe man. From him, I learned the value of a sharp axe and how to keep a blade razor sharp. I still enjoy sharpening an axe and hanging, installing a new handle. Dad always struck the tree precisely where he intended to. I almost never did. Though when I eventually cut down plenty of trees with axes, I never achieved Dad's precision. My lack of exactitude meant I had to swing an axe more times than Dad did to accomplish the same amount of work.
What do you attribute his expertise to?
He had hand-eye coordination that you cannot believe. He was born with it, I guess.
Yeah.
For years, my apparent inability to become an expert axe man gave me a kind of inferiority complex. I just couldn't cut it, so to speak.
Here, Rob. I just threw some at him.
You threw a pencil at Rob.
I was seeing if he had good
reaction.
No reaction at all.
I wish my camera had been on. Okay.
I'm glad you can't see this, folks.
I'm wishing I'd caught it on my camera. Go ahead, Rob.
Dad and I often cut down a tree together, working from either side, alternating strokes. Dad cut into the tree, and my awkward blows cleaned out the chips. When Dad bought our first chainsaw, it, too, was a two-man saw. As with the old crosscut saw, Mother first learned to use it with Dad. When I was about 11, I could barely hold up my end of that big McCullough saw. Though, when cutting up a felled tree, a log, my end was easier to handle. I didn't have to lift it, just steady it. Our big furnace accommodated wood chunks up to 18 by 18 inches. But some immense pieces of American elm, also known as water elm, were too big for the furnace door. We boys got many steel wedges stuck in those big chunks, which just didn't want to split. A hydraulic wood splitter would make short work of such chunks nowadays, though they'd be hard to lift up to split. Once in the furnace, the elm wood would sizzle, whistle, and make other weird noises as the heat drove out the sap. But that wood contained BTUs. Many a cold winter's night was warmer in our old farmhouse because the furnace was full of elm wood. That was, of course...
All that crumbling. You're not nervous reading this story, are you?
He's not nervous. He's just trying to move the page.
Yeah, just hold it out straight.
Yeah, I'm making noise with the page,
yeah,
and I'm in trouble for
crumbling sound.
That.
Yeah, the other day when Holly was in here working and we were doing our program, I could hear her doing the mailing over there.
Oh, funny.
My goodness.
But I could hear it right through my headphones.
You could hear her putting those stamps on, right?
But if you weren't broadcasting or recording, you would never notice that. Isn't that astonishing?
That's true. Those headphones, you can pick up everything in here.
Okay, Rob, you're on.
That was, of course, before the advent of
They were paying you by the word.
Oh,
so,
word.
Yeah,
I better hurry. That was, of course, before the advent of the Dutch elm disease, a fungus spread by elm bark beetles. That plague wiped most of the majestic elms from our Illinois and Indiana woodlands and city streets. As I grew up and learned more about chainsaws, I became more expert at their use than I ever did with an axe, despite hundreds of hours of on-the-job axe and hatchet training. I got skilled enough to almost always drop a tree right where I wanted it to fall, and I even learned to do some chainsaw carving.
And we won't talk about the times that it didn't fall correctly.
Well,
right?
actually we will, because yes. A rotten trunk and a sudden contrary wind did land a dead elm I was cutting on my Colorado brother-in-law's grain bin. And you can see that to this day. There's a dent in the grain bin.
Oh, no.
One of the nicest compliments I ever got was from a contractor who had built a pair of big matching gates at a local banker's hobby farm. Of treated pine, they closed precisely as designed until it rained for a week. Thereafter, they swelled just enough that they would no longer close entirely. The banker called the contractor to complain. My friend inspected the gates and told the man, "Oh, I have a friend who's an artist with a chainsaw. He'll trim these gates down and they'll fit perfectly." And the banker might have been skeptical, but he agreed. So I drove over. Fortunately, when I trimmed the matching gates, carefully following the straight line the contractor had drawn, those gates did close precisely as designed. vindicated at last.
copyright.
Rob Seidenberg.
Rob Seidenberg. You can contact Rob at rob@primelifetimes.com. He still uses a chainsaw, but only when necessary.
Yeah. I have one. Don't expect to see me up every morning.
And was that one of the times that Mary said, hey, why don't you get yourself a new chainsaw or something, like, well, magical words to your ears?
Yeah, I said, you know, the chainsaw can't be fixed. And she said, well, I guess it's time you buy a new one.
That's
I was astounded.
So, every man
thank
wants
you,
to
Mary.
Hear.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, what do they say? You married up, they have a woman
that's
say
right.
those things.
That's
to
right.
You.
There you go.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're reading this month's edition from the Prime Lifetimes, February's edition, Volume 6, Issue 2. So we've completed 5 years of overseeing this paper. It's been around for, I think, 26 years.
Wow.
We got to add us in.
That's over 20. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around 20-plus years, a long time when Bill Gingold started
it,
and it's had a couple different names, but it's gone almost continuously all these years, and we've been having oversight these last 5 years. It's a part of the Great News Media Ministry. Many of you know us by Great News Radio, or others of you know the broadcast by the WLUJ family of stations, but we're going with Great News Media oftentimes now because we have the broadcasting arm of the ministry, the publication arm of the ministry, and with our travels to Israel and other locations and some of the other things we do, events and activities, we kind of have 3 to 4 arms of the ministry, and we thought, well, maybe if we call it Great News Media, then it has the broadcasting arm, the publication arm, the travel arm, and the events arm. And so that's why you hear Great News Media or WLUJ family of stations, a ministry of Great News Media.
Wow.
You'll hear more and more Great News Radio, a ministry of Great News Media. And that's why we have our great LED lighted sign at our center here, and it's Great News Media instead of one of those other names. So we're kind of trying to be known as Great News Media. So does that make sense to you too?
It does indeed.
Okay. It does indeed.
Well, you're on the inside loop. In fact, we had a great Zoom call yesterday with some of our staff to do that on Tuesday mornings, where we can keep connecting, because we have Joyce way down in, I forget, she's about 2 hours south of Springfield, Ilion. I can't remember what town she lives in. And with Karen working from the Fisher Foosland area, and our center here, and Tim in Springfield, and others on the phone lines, we can get us all together.
That's great.
For those brief meetings.
That was a good meeting.
Great. Yeah, it was great to have everyone share a little about themselves and what they love about the ministry. So you can always tell
you
us.
You kind of popped that question on us. But anyway.
Hey, Marianne, I just realized we didn't read any listener letters today.
Oh, we didn't.
Next Wednesday we will continue with that. We love hearing your feedback. And you can write us today at P.O. Box 550. Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Rob Seidenberg, and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.